Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Robert Spencer, a returning guest. He is the director of JihadWatch.org. He's a best-selling author on all sorts of subjects related to Islam, all sorts of books related to that, a New York Times bestseller, I should say, as well. And we're going to talk about a report that has been circulating around that claims that supposedly right-wing attacks are more lethal and more dangerous in America than are the potential of Islamic attacks. Robert, I'm sure you're familiar with these stories. In fact, I know you are because you've actually addressed them at jihadwatch.org. Welcome back to the program, and what's your take on that story?
Thanks, Jerry. Yeah, this is a very persistent story in the first place. It's one that's it's really become essentially part of the unquestioned mythology of the establishment media, and you hear it tossed off as if it were established fact. Recently, Tucker Carlson had on a professor from Georgetown University who claimed it and then said that this was based on FBI statistics. Nothing could be further from the truth. The FBI has never said such a thing. However, there have been various misleading reports that have given rise to this myth. One does come from the FBI, and it counted terror attacks as one each. So 9/11 was one, and PETA throwing paint, red paint on somebody wearing a fur coat was one, even though nobody was killed in the latter, and almost 3,000 people were killed in the former. They're both counted as the same thing, one terrorist attack. So that in itself is absurd, and by that numbering, they got to many, many more terror attacks committed by non-Muslims than by Muslims. Although glossed over in that study was the fact that most of those were done by leftists and that there was a vastly different valuation of what exactly constituted a terror attack. In one case, mass murder, and in the other, just a rude and obnoxious act that didn't kill anyone. And many, many other such incidents were listed as terror attacks to get this misleading figure. Then there were other studies where they counted the number of casualties and found that after 9/11, more people have been killed by right-wing extremists in the U.S. than by Islamic jihadis. But, of course, you've got to wonder, well, why start at September 12, 2001? Move it back one day, and your casualty count looks vastly different. Also, there is, here again in that study, the problem that the right-wing extremist attacks, so-called, were often not anything like that at all, but not driven by any kind of ideology, just psychopaths killing people that were incidents lumped in together with incidents committed by real right-wing terrorists of some kind or another to create the figure. And also, above all, in all these studies, left out entirely is the international global jihad. The fact that Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and so many other groups are operating all over the world in the name of Islam and jihad, where there simply aren't any right-wing, conservative, white American terrorist groups out there in other countries, or in the U.S. for that matter. And so these studies are based on numerous false premises and numerous leaps of logic that really don't have any justification, but they are studies invented in order to serve the agenda, not actual explorations of the data in order to discover the truth.
Well, and unfortunately, as you point out, these are making the rounds. So, for example, Newsweek, NPR, Huffington Post, they have reported this. So, for example, here's a Newsweek's headline from June 22, 2017. Most terrorists in the U.S. are right-wing, not Muslim, report. By Miran Gira. She's the one who wrote the article. In that article, by the way, they say this, quote, of the 115 right-wing incidents, police only foiled 35%. Compare this to the 63 Islamist terrorism cases where police foiled 76% of the planned attacks. So it sounds like, well, you better go to a nearby bomb shelter because there's so many right-wing attacks out there and most of them aren't being foiled.
Yes, the idea is that too much police resources are being expended on Islamic Jihad when they really ought to be expended upon tracking right-wing extremists. There was also recently a story that went around saying, is the Trump administration focusing too much on Islam and not enough on neo-Nazis? As if these tiny groups of neo-Nazis in the United States posed anything commensurate to the jihad threat, but that the question could even be posed is based on all these faulty studies.
Well, and it's interesting, too, that even that Newsweek article that I mentioned, which you have pointed out in some of your literature as an example of this incorrect reporting at the end of the day, they even say that, well, radical Islam has a death toll of 90 people compared to 79 people supposedly attributed to right-wing attacks.
So even these studies, these faulty studies themselves, are contradictory among themselves. And this also indicates that this is to be the result of just jimmying of the data, manipulation of the data, in order to serve a political end rather than honest evaluation of the data, which would be consistent.
All right. Now, what about George Soros? How does he fit into this picture?
Well, the New America Foundation funded one of the most notorious of these studies, and that was the one that started on September 12th. And 2001, and then went on to claim that the body count was higher from right-wing extremist attacks than from jihad attacks. And the New America Foundation is a Soros-funded group. It does seem as if Soros, for whatever reason, is determined to keep Americans ignorant and complacent about the nature and magnitude of the jihad threat. He's devoted billions, quite literally billions of dollars, to foundations, to studies, to all sorts of initiatives to make people think that there is not really much of a jihad threat, and also to make people think that concern about the jihad threat is really a manifestation of bigotry and hatred and not a genuine concern that decent people ought to have.
Is the average American more likely to be killed by a Muslim terrorist in the United States or by a right-wing terrorist?
Much more likely to be killed by a Muslim terrorist than by a right-wing terrorist. Many of those, as I say, many of those right-wing terrorists, so-called, weren't really anything of the kind. They were just nuts of some kind, people who were psychotic. And also, the fact is that the Muslim population in the United States is quite small, but the number of terror attacks, even if you take these studies at face value, which I'm not recommending in any way, just as a point of argument, it is interesting to note that even if you take these studies at face value, they show that Muslims commit a hugely disproportionate number of terror attacks compared to their actual numbers in the country. And thus, this is a matter of immense concern that ought to be addressed.
Did I read correctly that at one time the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a terrible group, they put you as a hate monger and they list David Horowitz that way and Frank Gaffney and Pamela Geller and a multitude of Christian ministries that don't believe in same-sex marriage as supposed haters because they don't agree with their politics as bottom line. But anyway, did they actually claim that the Orlando shooter from a year ago or so was a right-wing attacker or a white right-wing plot as opposed to putting him in the category of Islamic terrorists?
Yeah, that's quite right. Apparently because he shot people at a gay nightclub. And so they actually went so far as to classify Omar Mateen, the Orlando jihad murderer, as a right-wing extremist. And so there again, you see just the incredible, breathtaking, and audacious dishonesty of the people behind these pseudo-intellectual reports.
Flesh this out further. I mean, didn't he, the shooter, that is, pledge allegiance to ISIS even during the shooting itself?
Yes, he did. He called up 911 while he was in the club, while he was reloading. Now, I don't know the scenario. I'm not up on how it was that he was able to do this while nobody there seemed able or willing to try to stop him. But in any case, he just stopped and took the time to call up 911 and to explain who he was and what he was doing. And so we have the transcripts of those calls. And interestingly enough, you may recall that during the waning days of the Obama administration, then Attorney General Loretta Lynch actually released a heavily edited version of those calls in order to remove all of Mateen's avowals that he was doing it for ISIS and for Islam.
Hmm. Wow. Now, going back to this Newsweek article as an example, because this is just from a month ago, and here they say there were 115 right-wing incidents versus 63 Islamist terrorism cases. Wow, 115 versus 63. 115 is a lot more than 63.
Sure. And you notice that they don't really ever get very specific. And if you are able to get your hands on what constituted those 115 incidents versus the 63, you will see that the 63 were plotting massacres, were plotting mass murder, were hoping to kill large numbers of people, while the 115 right-wing incidents includes things like people yelling at women wearing hijab and things of that kind, people who were rude, loudish, boorish, obnoxious, but not murderous, or not even trying to be murderous. And this is one of the ways in which this data is manipulated, so that people think that there's some massive right-wing extremist threat.
All right, now, quoting from one of your articles, back in June 2015, when the George Soros-funded New America Foundation first published this study. Now, in all fairness, that was, as you point out, before the spring of 2000, or I guess it was summer, I guess it was June of 2016, the attack on the Orlando nightclub. But so anyway, they reported this thing about right-wing extremists. I'm going to quote it a little bit from you. The mainstream media was thrilled. Mediaite crowed. White Americans are bigger threat in U.S. The New York Times exulted. Homegrown terrorists tied to deadlier toll than jihadists in U.S. since 9/11. The Huffington Post cheered. White supremacists more dangerous to America than foreign terrorists, study says. NPR rejoiced. Right-wing extremists more dangerous than Islamic terrorists in U.S. Truthdig was thrilled. White right-wing terrorists are biggest threat to Americans, study says, and on and on. So here's my question. Prior to the Orlando massacre, where 48 people were killed, and clearly, I mean, you'd have to be blind to not say that was definitely tied to Islamic jihad. I mean, come on. But prior to that attack, is there any truth to the idea that more people were being killed in America from 9/12, 2001, until the Orlando massacre?
Only if you go by the classification of all those killings as having been done by right-wing extremists. I mean, you've got a guy like Dylan Roof, the man who went into the church group in a black church in Charleston, South Carolina, and killed all those people. And he had, of course, Confederate flags and said all these racist things. And so you could arguably say that he was some sort of a right-wing ideologue, but he really looks more like a psychopath who fastened upon this this ideology or this historical memory, really, in the American South to justify what he was doing or to give it some sort of context. But to act as if he was some sort of a soldier of some movement is really quite fanciful. It just fits the mainstream media agenda. And so if you accept all that, and you accept that all these other people that are classified that way really were, then yeah. But then even by that logic, then even by the logic of the study itself, this is the New America Foundation study, it's exploded by Mateen, and more people have been killed since 9/12 by Islamic jihadis than by right-wing extremists in the U.S.
Amazing. All right, people can get more information at jihadwatch.com. And by the way, one of the things that comes out in one of your reports is that sometimes some of the Muslim groups say to their fellow Muslims, don't cooperate with the FBI. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I published not long ago at Jihad Watch a photo essay. And it took my breath away myself, because I had had I had two examples over all these years of literature that was circulated by the Council on American Islamic Relations telling Muslims not to cooperate with the FBI. But I got a report from an investigative journalist and published it at Jihad Watch that had just dozens and dozens of photos of care literature counseling Muslims not to cooperate with law enforcement efforts.
Wow.
It's a thoroughgoing policy and a scandalous one. Most people have no idea, but this is something that is consistently being counseled of Muslims all around the country, that they should not help law enforcement efforts to fight terrorism.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, we're out of time, but thank you so much for being with us. JihadWatch.org. Keep up the great work, Robert. All the best to you.
You too.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.